John 15, 5 to 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, there is nothing you can do. Oh wait, I read that wrong. I apologize. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Very different. I'm going to start again because I've just disrupted the whole flow of it. Pardon me. Terrible. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Thanks, Emily. Let's just take a moment to pray as we begin this evening. Father, as we look at this passage, would you help us to choose reliance upon you? And Father, I ask right now that you might open our hearts to engage with you and our minds to be changed by you. Father, give us eyes to see. And Father, would you help us to understand? And Father, I pray particularly right now that we would know you as our sustainer. Amen. Well, I love to run, and I don't get to go as often as I like, and that's probably laziness. But when I do go, it often gets out of hand. And last year, that looked that kind of getting out of hand looked like a marathon up a mountain. 40 kilometers up Mount Feathertop, along and then down Mount Hotham. 6.5 hours of grueling trail marathon. And it tested the limits of my fitness, it tested the limits of my stomach's ability to hold down food, and it also tested the limits of my British desire to whinge. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't very good. I did finish, however. But I finished because I was reliant upon one thing, and that one thing was nutrition. I had trained. I could have done more. I had spent days looking for the ideal trail running shoes, and I'd bought expensive tape to wrap around my toes that helps prevent blisters. I can lend you some if you need that. But none of it means anything if you don't have nutrition. If you don't eat while you're running for that length of time, then it's very unlikely that you're going to finish that race. I had little cubes of energy gel to eat every 15 minutes. And I had a protein ball to eat on the hour, every hour. And that was prepared by my now wife. They were probably the deal clincher for us getting married. I drank water and I drank energy drink. And I also ate slices of salami. And if you're interested, they're the secret weapon. You see, you can run for about an hour without nutrition. But after that, your body begins to dive into resources, and you hit the wall. You get dizzy. You get lightheaded. Your legs feel really heavy. And you start to run very slowly. And if the race is long enough, you're not going to finish. And if you keep running, doing a couple more 40-kilometer laps up and down a mountain with no nutrition, then you'll probably die. And I was reliant upon nutrition to keep me going until the end of the race. I chose to eat to sustain me. And in this section of John 15, we see something of this concept of reliance and sustaining. But Jesus isn't talking about salami. He's not even talking about trail running. I know, that's very difficult to believe. But this is a beautiful picture of Jesus' call for believers to live a life reliant upon him, to live a life that is sustained by God. This verse speaks of remaining in the vine, remaining in Jesus, remaining connected to the sustainer of life. And central to remaining in Christ is the choice to pray. To be reliant upon Jesus is to pray. One of the ways that we express value in relationships, people that we love and we trust, is by speaking to them, by communicating with them, by listening to their opinion on situations. Hey, mum, dad, darling, I've got this situation at work, the gym, school. What do you think about that? And we express this reliance on Jesus in part through prayer. In verse 7, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." We ask God for things in prayer. Now, asking God whatever we wish is not the end of all that prayer is. It's not even the end of what it means to remain in Christ. But it is one key way that we place our trust in God. It's one key way that we are reliant upon Him. And this passage doesn't leave us hanging. It doesn't leave us questioning whether energy gels and salami and protein balls are going to keep us going until the end of the race. Oh, actually it does, sorry. But it does tell us that Jesus is going to sustain our living. But you get my point. It reveals that Jesus is the life-sustaining God of the universe. He's the sustainer of our lives. How? Well, in verse 5 we read, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." If we don't remain in Christ by choosing to be reliant upon him, then we can't do anything. You can do nothing. Now, this is God's economy and nothing has got some parameters to it. Clearly, there are people that we know, that we live and we work with, who are happily doing things completely unreliant on God. But I think Jesus has got a particular definition of nothing in this context. Jesus' talk of bearing fruit speaks of a life that exhibits the fruits of the Spirit, as we look at in Galatians 5:22, of experiencing life with God who sustains us. But it in part speaks of revealing God to others, inviting others to see God. You see, Jesus' call in verse 8 is that we might show ourselves to be his disciples. This is an echo of Israel, who were described as the vine in Psalm 80. Israel was the witness to the world of the God that chose them. And we are chosen by God to be witnesses to this world, to bear witness to Jesus as his followers. In prayerful reliance upon Jesus, we bear witness to the God who sustains us. We bear the fruit of a God-sustained life. You see, an apple bears witness to the fact that it is sustained by sunlight, by nutrients in the soil, by water. And it bears witness by bearing apples. The tree, in its reliance on these things, bears witness to their power to sustain life. And if the apple tree never bears apples, then we know that there's something up. When we choose to be reliant on Jesus, we bear fruit. We bear witness to this God who sustains our lives. So at the heart of this passage, we see that to pray is to choose to be reliant upon God, to be reliant upon the sustainer of life. When we choose to pray to God, we bear witness that God is the sustainer of life. And I think this is really important because it fundamentally changes the way that we live. When we pray reliant upon God and his power to sustain us, then we're changed. when we repeatedly choose to pray in all circumstances, we begin to live dependent, not on our own diminishing resources, but we live dependent upon the God who is the life-giving sustainer of all that lives. And this is a whole lot less exhausting than trying to gain status in our world by any other means. This is how God intended it to be. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, as John 10:10 reminds us. God is the good Father who is calling us to himself. And as John 15:9 goes on to say, he wants us to remain in his love. If you were at the men's breakfast last week, and I can only imagine that that was the men in this room, but if you were a female who was there, great disguise, you'll have heard me speak about a time of significant anxiety in my life. And it was connected with relationships. And this was an issue for me for many years. But I had a choice in the midst of that time to choose to give up, to choose addiction, or to choose to keep praying that God would be at work within me, that God would be at work within my anxieties. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want anyone here to hear words of condemnation. Anxiety is really tough. And sometimes there are medical reasons for that. And sometimes just being anxious is life-disruptingly difficult. And you don't need someone telling you that you're bad because you feel that way. And it's not helpful for you to feel that the answer is necessarily easy or quick. Sometimes it's painfully slow. But I do want you to hear my encouragement to pray, to choose reliance upon God, to find life in the God who sustains us, because he sustained me. Many of the areas of anxiety are no longer with me, and I'm thankful to God for that. But what does praying reliant upon God look like? What are other ways that we might engage with this reliant life on God in our day-to-day? As I prepared this message, I wrestled with my desire to speak about the full bounds of prayer, about how I believe it to be both relationship and request, formative and forming, but we'll be here for ages if I carry on down that road, so I won't. But today, I hope that in looking at a few places that we can choose to pray, we might take steps towards a life of reliance upon God. Enter into the fullness of a life that is sustained by God, as we bear witness that this is who God is. God is the sustainer of life. So first up, pray for others. The choice to pray for others who don't know Jesus. Choosing to respond to the struggles of those that we live and work with the words, "Can I pray for you for that?" Now, this may sound like I've dived in at the evangelistic deep end, and you're probably right. But I don't think this has to be as hard as it may first appear. People often tell me that they fear what others might think if they were to admit that they were Christians. And yes, there are situations where admitting that you're a Christian receives a very aggressive response. And for some people, as we've read about in the news this week, that is a life-threatening situation to confess that you're a Christian. But I think for us, for most of us here in this part of Sydney, this battle comes from within. And that this is a work of the enemy. This is a work of deception. If we're honest, I think we're often more concerned with our status amongst our friends, securing our position or our perception. And I'm definitely guilty of this. But the reality is that our status has changed when we chose to follow Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God, as Galatians 4:6 reminds us. I used to work in a bike shop, and one of the great privileges of working amongst a group of guys regularly, so closely, is that when they get to know you, they begin to ask you for things. When they know that you're a Christian and things get tough, then they come and speak to you. And it was one colleague of mine, one Monday morning, came in and he told me the news about his very sick cousin, his cousin who's dying of a terminal illness. And that one moment I had to chat with him in the stockroom, hidden away in the bike shop, and just to pray with him about that situation. And I don't want this to sound like a grand gesture. This is a great privilege, and it really wasn't very difficult. He asked me. But there was this opportunity to pray, and all I had to do was be willing and be reliant upon God in that. And when we choose to bear witness, when we choose to pray for others, we bear witness to this truth. We bear witness that our status has changed, that God sustains us, that God is the one that gives us all that we need. And I think we bear witness to those that we're praying for, that we are reliant on God for this sustaining. And we're not reliant upon surgeons or health insurance. Now, these things are good, don't get me wrong, these are important things. But they can and they do fail. And God doesn't. God is the sustainer of life. Secondly, say grace. Choosing to express our reliance upon God before a meal. Now, I have two friends who are particularly good at saying grace before a meal. And it's not some mystical practice that prevents them from getting food poisoning. But it is an opportunity for them to bring before God this celebration that God is sustainer. To say, thank you, God, that I am here eating good food with good people. And invariably, the prayer doesn't stop there. They pray about the food and then they're off praying about other things. But at its heart, they are making the choice to declare that God is the sustainer of their lives. Saying grace is a prayer that expresses reliance upon God. Perhaps not that the food directly dropped from heaven onto the table, but that God, as the sustainer of life, has aligned a whole number of blessings that we might be able to sit there and eat together and share good food with good people. Prayer declares our reliance upon God. It bears witness to ourselves and to those that we're with of God's sustaining of our lives. Third is invite God in. Now, this is quite a lot like grace, except there doesn't need to be food and life doesn't need to be going brilliantly when you do it. Some more notably worthy men before me have called this practicing the presence. But it involves conversing with God, sharing your thoughts with him, engaging him in your day-to-day lives, expressing your concerns, saying thank you to him. Simply saying, God, this situation made me feel or think this. And you're inviting God to become a part of your day-to-day. And God even cares about your decision whether or not to buy bananas this week. And not because of bananas, but because of you. Because God loves to converse with you. God loves to be in this relational engagement with you. He wants our lives interwoven with his in the vine, reliant upon him, recognizing that he is the sustainer of life in all circumstances. Brother Lawrence writes more on this if you want to read up a bit more, and he was a man who prayed to God while he was washing the dishes. And fourthly, pray together. Choosing to pray with others. This is really on my heart. Relationships are the stuff of the universe. They're integral to our faith. They are complex and they are beautiful. And they're so important that God gave his son to be beaten and crucified for them. We make a particular statement when we come together to pray. In John 17, 21, Jesus goes on to pray that we, the followers of Jesus, might be one, that we might be the body of Christ. And when we come together to pray, we are bearing witness to the world that we're branches together in the vine. We are reliant upon God. We are sustained by God. But we also bear witness to each other. We encourage each other and we cheer each other on, saying, come on, God is our sustainer. And there is power when we as a body collectively come together to declare our reliance upon God. Now, I know too well that there are times when you feel like you are knocking on heaven's door every waking moment. And no matter how hard we pray, or how intently we desire God to act in a particular way, in a particular circumstance, it feels like God is not responding. It's like God is not there, and he's not answering his mail. And I'm sorry, but today I don't have a simple answer for you. And I'm genuinely sorry, because I know that for some of you, this is exactly where you're at right now. You are knocking on the door, and God doesn't seem to be answering. And I can't tell you why God seems to choose to answer some prayers and others he seems not to. But I can tell you that when we make the choice to pray, to keep praying in spite of what we might be feeling, that we join with centuries of people who have declared their reliance upon God, bearing witness to this eternal truth that God is the vine, he is the sustainer of life. And if we look more widely than our current situation, if we take time to celebrate moments of God's faithfulness before meals, with others, for others, we remind ourselves of the truth that God has revealed himself as the sustainer of life, and we can rely on him. When we choose to pray to God, reliant upon him, we bear witness that God is the sustainer of life. I'm going to invite the band back up now, and I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you that you are the sustainer of life. And Father, I want to pray particularly right now for those for whom that is a tough truth. And the choice to be reliant upon you is very hard. And God, I pray right now, by your Spirit, that you would bring faith to those that need that. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you would give the gift of faith to those who need all the help they can get in choosing to rely upon you. And Father, I thank you that you are the God who is faithful. You are the God who has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And though it may feel that you are not there, you are present. You are with us and you are our sustainer. And Father, would you give us the strength and the courage to step out in faith, to pray for others, to invite you into situations in our lives, Lord, to say grace and to declare, bearing witness to this world, that you are our sustainer. Father God, thank you for this true truth and this real reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.